The name of this teaching is Running Your Race.
Yeah.
Anybody ever run track or do any kind of running sports? I was surprised at how many women are involved in that now. It's usually, mostly when I was in high school, it was mostly a men's or a boys' activity, but more and more ladies are getting involved in it. But back in the day when the Bible was written, it was almost exclusively for men, and they would strip down to their all together when they did the Olympics, because they didn't want anything, no drag at all on their bodies when they ran. But when I was in high school, I went out for track, and it was about the only sport that I could really compete in, because I wasn't really big enough for football, and I wasn't good enough for baseball, but track I could do.
Were you tall enough for basketball?
I wasn't tall enough for basketball. I was at a big school, so I had a lot of competition. But they had track I could do. I could run like the Dickens. But what I didn't have was a lot of endurance. I could do relays and things like that, where I was sprinting a lot. But when it came down to doing miles of running, that just wasn't going to happen for me. But I remember trying to do it. And there was a course laid out. And in West Virginia, everything's either up or down. And so the course would start out, and we would take this road up to the top of the hill, which was probably 2 miles up. And, of course, going uphill, it makes it even more strenuous. And then we turn around and run back. But the one thing that the coach always said that we had to do was we could never stop. If we had to, if we just got so winded that we couldn't continue running, then we were to walk. But if we ever sat down and stopped, then the whole, the things that happen to your body is just not going to be very good for you getting up and doing it again. So the idea was to always keep going forward. Then I did that for a while until I broke my arm in gym class, and that kind of put me out for the rest of the season for doing anything. But it was fun while it lasted. But the thing about running is that, first of all, you have a starting point. And for me, my Christian race that I had started was when a Dr. Spencer, Tracy Spencer, witnessed to me. He was my family physician when I was growing up. I hadn't seen him for a while. And then I met him at this drug council meeting, and he started to witness to me. He had just taken the PFL class himself, and he was very excited to share about it with about anybody that would listen. And so he told me about it, and next thing I knew, I was on a bus going up to New Knoxville for a New Year's Youth Advance. And it was cold winter day that he put me on the bus. The only thing he told me was that they'll be doing a lot of things you don't understand. So I think in my mind I was ready for about anything. And so when I got there, there was probably about 100 young adults. And they were from everywhere, from New York, from Kansas, from California, North Carolina.
What year was this?
This was 70, that 70, 71, that New Year's.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But from that point forward, I decided that this was a race that I wanted to be involved in. This is a run that I wanted to make. And by golly, I got in with everything I had. And for the next year and a half, we were involved in running classes and establishing fellowships around the state. And I was running two fellowships myself while going to college full-time and working through the night as a janitor in what would probably today would be like a Walmart or something like that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I would clean the floors. They'd lock us in at night, and we would wash and wax the floors and clean the bathrooms out and all that stuff. So then I would take about a two-hour nap on the rugs. They had these throw rugs, a stack of them. I'd lay down on those, and take about a two-hour nap until the guy came in the morning and let us out. Then I'd go to school and start it all over again. But my body had gotten so wore out because I wasn't eating properly. I didn't have my mom or anything for somebody to tell me how to eat. So I was my breakfast was Pop-Tarts. My lunch was a hot dog. And if I ate supper, it was usually somebody else that was around that was making it. So my body was pretty worn down. So I decided to apply for the Weight Corps and was accepted. And I was 19 years old. But my body was so run down is that when we did the physical exercise, the first time I ran, I just puked myself.
Yeah.
My guts out. But again, life was changing. My diet was greatly improved. And then I just was able to get back in shape. But spiritually speaking, we also do that as well. Many Christians get really excited when they first hear about the Lord Jesus Christ, learn about what His Word has to say, and about how God is our Heavenly Father. And so everything is very exciting. Everything is new. You actually see the signs, miracles, and wonders happen. You see the answers to prayer. And life is never more exciting and rosy for you, except then the other parts of life start to happen. You get married. You start having children. You many get into a career, and things really get tied down. Your time and your attention gets really focused on other things in life besides running that race that God had first set your feet on. Now, I'm not saying that all those things aren't important, but it really highlights when Paul was talking about if you burn, get married, but if you can, stay unmarried. Because when you're married, you have to pay attention to the needs of your spouse and to your children. But if you're not, then the things, all your energy can go to the movement of God's Word. Of course, that was what his primary interest was, Paul's was, and that's what he was encouraging. But I think that our race that we have was individually tailored by God for us. He knows that we're not going to be on the same course that the Apostle Paul had. You know, his ministry was to bring the word to the Gentiles, and he did. And the only time that he really got in trouble with the community or with his physical life was in danger was when he tried to go teach it to the Gentiles or to the Jews. When he would go teach it to the Jews, there was all kinds of trouble that happened. Was if he stuck to the Gentiles, they were thankful, and lots of great things happened for the Gentiles.
Yeah.
Now, before I started my race, I was in complete doubt about everything. The Vietnam War was on, and I was doubting my country's motivation for being there, whether I wanted to be there. Have doubt about my family. I come from a broken home, and is getting ready to break up again. So, also didn't know what I wanted to do with my future. I certainly had great doubts about things that happened in my past. But I think that my chief doubt was about God Himself, whether He had any interest in my life at all. So, once I found out that none of that was really had any validity as far as my being doubtful about all those things, that really was in God's hands, then I could trust Him and that I could start the race. Let's go to Psalm 119, verse 25. Psalm 119, verse 25. And it says, "My soul cleaveth unto the dust, quickeneth thou me according to thy word." And that's kind of how I felt. I felt like I was cleaving to the dust. It wasn't much bright spot for me. But then when Dr. Spencer, when he taught me the word, when he showed me the word, and that there was a great, great hope to be had, then my whole life brightened up, everything. And so here the prayer is, quicken thou me according to thy word. And it was the word that set me on my course. Verse 26, I have declared my ways, and thou heardest me. Teach me thy statutes. So here the psalmist is saying that I have declared my ways. You know, he's opened up his heart to God, and that his heart was to be taught the statutes, the word. Make me to understand the way of thy precepts. So shall I talk of thy wondrous works. Well, if you're going to praise God to others, guess what? You need to be able to say something that has meaning. And you can only do that if you understand the word. I'm talking about understanding to the end, to the degree that you can explain it to somebody else. It's not hard. I mean, that, there isn't a difficulty in that. Children can do that. But the point is that you have to understand it yourself. It can't be something you're regurgitating from what somebody else taught you or said to you. Verse 28, my soul melteth for heaviness. Strengthen thou me according to thy word. Now here's four times that the psalmist keeps going back and referencing the word of God. It is the word that gives us this great hope and understanding. Verse 29, remove from me the way of lying, and grant me thy law graciously. I have chosen the way of truth. Thy judgments have I laid before me. So now he's talking about the way of truth. That is the course that he has decided that he's going to walk on. And it's going to be according to the judgments, to the word of God. I thought it interesting. Remove from me the way of lying. Even though we don't want to admit this in ourselves, to ourselves, we all are subject to doing that. It is only the integrity of the word that changes that in us. Because the adversary and the old man nature, that's what he does. And that's what he gives. So the old man nature wanting to lie is there ever present. It's not going to be something that you need to be rejecting as a possibility. Understand that that is going to be ever present as long as the old man nature has his way, is in control. And so he says, remove from me the way of lying, that old way of doing things. Verse 31, I have struck unto thy testimonies, or I have cleaved or hung on to thy testimonies. O Lord, put me not to shame. I will run the way of thy commandments when thou shalt enlarge my heart. I love that phrase. Enlarge my heart. It's an amazing visual, is that our heart grows in understanding, in love, in compassion, in all things that God wants for his people. Our heart grows to be able to encompass that, to have that in us. But it's still, we're running the way of the word. That is the course that we're on. Now, the specific steps that each one of us takes may be a little varied according to our own purpose of life. You won't be doing the same things that I'll be doing, and I won't be doing the same things that you're doing. But the point is that we're all running the race together that God's given us to do. Mm-hmm. And there's so much evil in this world. There's so much, and it's all there trying to lure. When we were in our youth, you know, when I was talking about I was discouraged and doubting all these things, those are evil thoughts. Those are actually evil thoughts to discourage us from looking to God. And what we teach our children will be their only defense from that evil luring away. So in Proverbs chapter 1, verse 10, it says, verse 1, my son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. If they say, come with us, let us lie, wait for blood, let us lurk privately for the innocent without cause. Now that's the kind of the extreme version of the luring away is come help us kill people. But there's a whole lot in between from where you're at to that point.
It starts out a little less.
Yeah. Let us swallow them up alive as the grave and whole as those that go down into the pit. Now, most of us would go, what? Somebody says, let's do that. Oh, that sounds like fun.
No.
No, no. But isn't that what gang life is?
Yeah.
Why would gang life have any hope of success? Because the kids in that neighborhood have no other hope. Their families aren't given the hope by teaching the word. Their community is one of extreme poverty many times. And then they get the guy that's already in the gang come to him and ask him, hey, don't you want to be a part of a family? Don't you want to be a part of people who like you, take care of you? And that's the allure. That's the draw for many of them.
And then they go in the pit.
And then they go in the pit. Verse 14. No, 13. We shall find all precious substance. We shall fill our house with spoil. Cast in thy lot among us. Let us all have one purse. Okay.
That sounds like...
Okay, sounds like communism, doesn't it?
Socialism.
Yeah. Verse 15, my son, walk not thou in the way with them. Refrain thy foot from their path. For their feet run to evil and make haste to shed blood. So they're on their own race, aren't they? You know, running is a great visual for being very active for something. Mm-hmm. But what's the opposite of being active?
Passive.
Being passive. Now, you can believe something and be passive about it, can't you?
Yeah.
But it's when you believe something to action, that's when things get done. And these guys, they believe to the point of action. They think they're going to get money in their pockets or whatever else the thing that they're trying to promote, that's going to get it for them. It says, surely in vain the net is spread in the sight of any bird. And they lay... wait for their own blood. They look privately for their own lives. So are the ways of everyone that is greedy of gain, which taketh away the life of the owners thereof. Yeah. There's always a consequence to evil. It may not show up
immediately.
Yeah. That day or that week or that month. But let's say that we engage, somebody engages in an evil act or an evil spiritual thing to do, like people who would go to get psychic surgery and stuff like that. They eventually pay a price for that. If they don't repent of it, they pay a price. And it usually ends in death. We are all on our individual race, but those best prepared must stay faithful and disciplined to stay on that course. Like I said, when I first got into the Way Corps and started running, I was the least prepared physically to do it. But I took some changes, some lifestyle changes, in how I treated my body to be able to run that race. Well, it's true running a spiritual race too. You can't keep treating your brain and your heart by starving it from the word and feeding it with crap from the world. You will not be able to finish the race. Your body, your spiritual life will just get weaker and weaker. So in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 24. Chapter 9, verse 24. Know ye not that they which run in a race run all? But one receiveth the prize. So if we're all out there and actively doing something, we're all running in the race, but one is the winner. So run that ye may obtain. Now, that analogy stops at that point. The point is, is that us crossing the finish line, actively running forward, makes us a winner.
Yeah.
Okay, that's what how we receive a prize, is by crossing the finish line. If we drop out, we go up in the stands and sit and watch everybody else do that, their race, then we don't win the prize. So run that ye may obtain. And every man that striveth for the masteries is what?
Temperate,
which means self-controlled in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. So in the Olympics, those guys would train. Well, in our own present Olympics, how long do they train for?
Years and years.
Almost all their lives. Yeah. You know, you get some little girl is in her teenage years, and she goes to gymnastics class and trains, you know, 5 nights a week.
Starts at 4.
Yeah. Or, you know, somebody who's in track and field, they do it usually from the time they're in junior high school, they're already doing it. And they do it they practice every day in some way. But the point is, they do it to get a little gold circle,
mm-hmm.
or a silver one, or a bronze, or nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, but that's why they do it. They want to be the best at what they have trained to do. And they'll go through all that to get that. In the Olympics of the ancients, it was a crown of laurel leaves. They make a little crown made out of sticks and leaves, and that was your prize. Yay! So, but that's the thing is, our crown is incorruptible. God always knows what we've done. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, and then he changes analogies, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air. Again, it's still in the arts, the physical arts, boxing, but it's still another analogy. Verse 27, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a what?
Castaway.
So when we don't have that kind of control over our what the body is trying to make us to do in some form or another. For some people, it is one thing. For other people, it's another thing. But the point is that when our body and what the things our body craves is greater and more important than the discipline to finish the race, then that's when we become a castaway. And even though Paul says, I preach to others, he's doing out there doing it, but if he has let that five senses body issue now have more say in his life, then he's a castaway. Besides the personal temptations to drop out of the race, there are pressures from others to alter the course of the race. And that course cannot be altered if it's given by God for you to fulfill. Look at Galatians chapter 2. Galatians chapter 2, verse 1. Now, Paul and Barnabas were put together as a team by God. They were ordained, and they were sent forth to bring the word to the Gentiles. And they did it until they had their blow-up over John Mark. So in verse 1 it says, then 14 years after I went again to Jerusalem with Barnabas and took Titus with me also. And I went up by revelation and communicated unto them that gospel which I preach among the Gentiles, but privately to them which were of reputation, lest by any means I should run or had run in vain. So he went to explain what was happening, that God was showing him by revelation in what he was teaching to the Gentiles. The problem was the Christian church was mostly made up, almost entirely made up, of people from the Jewish background. And this was a point of transition. They were still trying to understand what God had wrought on the day of Pentecost. They knew it was new. They knew it was different. But they didn't know what to abandon from the Old Testament and what God was bringing to them in this next administration. So there were some knuckleheads, zealous, sincere knuckleheads, but still knuckleheads that were coming and causing the Gentiles a problem by telling them that they had to be circumcised. If you're really going to be saved and part of our gang, you got to go through circumcision. And so Paul and Barnabas and Titus went to explain this. So first they told it to the church, and then they met with the church leaders. And you can see that transpire in Acts. But neither Titus, who was with me, being a Greek, was compelled to be circumcised. And that because of false brethren unawares brought in, who came in privately to spy out our liberty, which we have in Christ Jesus, that they might bring us into bondage. What was that bondage? The Mosaic law. They were so zealous for the law. For whom we gave place by subjection, no, not for an hour, that the truth of the gospel might continue with you. Now, remember, he's addressing the Gentiles. That's in Galatia. He said, we didn't go for it even for a second. We didn't give in. Would the temptation be there?
Of course.
Because the pressure is that these guys are coming from Jerusalem. This is like headquarters. They should know what is the best. They should know what we need to do. And now they come in and they're teaching that we need to observe the Mosaic law. So he says, we didn't give in to it, not for a minute. But of these, who seemed to be somewhat, in other words, they had their name tag, okay, got their name tag, whatsoever they were, it maketh me no matter to me, God accepteth no man's person. It kind of put everything right on an even keel, didn't it? So you got your name tag, it's okay. Glad you got your name tag, but it doesn't mean a hill of beans to me when it comes to the word. If you're going to teach something that's contrary. For they who seemed to be somewhat in conference added nothing to me. So, but counterwise, when they saw that the gospel of the uncircumcision was committed unto me, as the gospel of the circumcision was to Peter, for he that wrought effectually in Peter to the apostleship of the circumcision, the same was mighty in me toward the Gentiles. I wish he had stuck with that. It was his zealousness to go teach the word to the Jews that got him arrested and kept him in prison till he died.
Yep.
But we're all men. And when James, Cephas, and John, who seemed to be pillars, perceived the grace that was given unto me, they gave to me and Barnabas the right hand of fellowship, that we should go unto the heathen, and they unto the circumcision. Only they would that we should remember the poor, the same which I also was forward or ready to do. There you go. That shows a confrontation by sincere people to get them off their path of taking the word to the Gentiles, or making the Gentiles do something that the word was not wanting them to do. And then if you go on over to chapter 5, verse 7, that particular part is now, he's reminding them of what did happen. Now he's asking them, what is happening with you? Verse 7 says, ye did run well. Who did hinder you that you should not obey the truth? This persuasion cometh not of him that calleth you. A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. I have confidence in you through the Lord that you will be none otherwise minded. But he that troubleth you shall bear his judgment, whosoever he be. And I, brethren, if I yet preach circumcision, Why do I yet suffer persecution? Then is the offense of the cross ceased. I would they were even cut off, which trouble you. In the context, that's kind of funny. Talking about circumcision? Okay, good. The example of the race runner can be found in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. It says, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us." So sometimes, you know, it's a run, sometimes it's a walk, but it's still a race, you know. But the point is that we got to keep moving forward, and we can't be burdened down with these things in our lives that hinder us and weigh us down. And it puts in the category of sin, those things which are not according to the word, but are according to the flesh, that it interrupts or hinders our race. So we are looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. What kind of crown did he just receive when he got through with his race? An incorruptible crown. "For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds." So our course, our race, might end tomorrow. Or it might go another 20, 40 years. We just don't know. But we just keep putting one foot in front of the other. That's how we get through this race. Paul's course was to bring the Gentiles the word of faith, that gospel of the good news of Jesus Christ. And he had one exhortation found in Philippians I'd like to share with you. Chapter 2, verse 14. Philippians chapter 2, verse 14. "Do all things without murmurings and disputings, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. Yea, and if I be offered upon the sacrifice and service of your faith, I joy and rejoice with you all. For the same cause also do ye joy and rejoice with me." So we're running this race together. But Paul was looking to the end of his race, and he saw all the things he was able to do in his life for God to bring the word to the Gentiles. And he was joyful over it.
Yeah.
He was absolutely had joy in his heart. No matter how many times he was buffeted, no matter how many times he was stoned, no many times he was whipped, or had to go into a shipwreck, and all these things that the adversary was trying to take his life, it didn't mean anything to him compared to the joy that he had knowing that he had brought the word to the Gentiles. So let us run our race, whatever it be, whichever direction it takes us. It might be in later life, it's just simply teaching the word to our family because we can't get out of the house any longer. You know, but we still can speak God's word.
Yeah.
So, Father, thanks for the word living in our lives. Thanks that we can finish our race with an all due course, staying faithful to what you have taught us. In the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.